Imagine a world where the very tools designed for billion-dollar enterprises are now within reach of any business, big or small. And they're not just leveling the playing field, they're rewriting all the rules. Today, my guest and I are diving into how AI is transforming business as we know it and why adopting it might be the difference between thriving or just fading away into irrelevance. Welcome to this episode of the Learn It All podcast, the show for today's leaders who want to get ahead and stay ahead of the game, because we know that great leaders aren't born or made, they are constantly in the making. I'm your host, Damon Lemby. I'm a two-time best-selling author and CEO of Learn It, a live learning platform that has helped upskill over 2 million people over the past three decades. I've got a great guest today. His name is Ben Gold, and Ben is an AI strategist and consultant with over 20 years experience in the technology sales sector. He helps organizations navigate the complex landscapes of AI adoption and implementation, bridging the gap between technical concepts and business objectives. It's absolutely clear that AI is a game changer, and Ben Gold is here to show companies how to harness it. His insights cover everything from clearing manual tasks to building a culture that's ready for AI. Stick around for this episode, and you're going to learn the real-world impact of AI on businesses of all sizes. Ben shares several examples of common obstacles when it comes to adopting AI and implementing it in large organizations. And last but not least, as an individual, how important it is for you to embrace a mindset of curiosity and continuous learning to navigate and be successful in this AI-driven world that is only going to accelerate in the future. So let's jump into this great conversation with Mr. Ben Gold. Everybody's saying that AI is going to be bigger than the internet. How do you think that it's going to transform the business world?
So I do believe that when I listen to certain people make posts on LinkedIn, there's a lot of clickbait, like ChatGPT is dead or something like that, or how to become a millionaire with AI. And you're like, no, you can't just say, hey, AI, make me a millionaire. Okay, right. So it is something that it is a technology that will transform the world, some good ways and some bad. And the way I look at it is that there is this ability, that the way that it's able to process information and huge amounts of information and be able to give actionable insights is in itself, from a business point of view, is one of the driving factors. Now, one of the things when I talk to organizations, and my superpower is that I'm not a coder, I'm not a data scientist. I talk to them, they're my favorite nerds, but I like to help people understand in practical terms what AI can do and how it can impact them. And when we look at where we're at, so I like to talk maybe 30,000 foot view, that 2 years ago, that we think about this, ChatGPT hadn't been released. So we were like at ChatGPT 2.0. That was roughly the level of a kindergartner, okay, was basically where we're at. Now, over the last 2 years, we had the ChatGPT 3.0 in November of 2022, which is kind of like you're a middle to high schooler level. 4.0, which came out last March, which basically put you at like a college level or high school, college level understanding. And now these models are getting smarter. Now, there is, if you compare where we were 2 years ago to where we're at, it's a geometric progression. It's not linear, it's geometric. Crazy. Now, back then they were putting hundreds of millions, maybe a couple of billion dollars into these models. Over the next 2 years, they're expected to put tens of billions and hundreds of billions and even trillions of dollars into the infrastructure, which will allow us to continue a two-year geometric progression. The biggest mistake people make is they look at ChatGPT from 6 months ago, the free version, that when they didn't know how to prompt, they didn't understand what contextual data is, and they say, ah, that's nothing. You know, it can't do what I need it to do, or it's no big deal. And I'm like, look, you just looked at a roughly 1% of what AI can do. When you get into the capabilities, it's and I'm talking off the shelf AI, like Claude and ChatGPT being the two large language models that I work with the most, that just to give you an example, I can take a 100-page document. Okay, so I have a prospect that asked me, could AI help us with, and it's an ed tech company. here's 100 pages on our guidelines. Here's a submission for a course that's 100 pages. And here's an Excel spreadsheet that evaluates, can it, you know, how did they, with 50 questions, does this content abide by our standards? And typically they'll have a human read the course outline and compare it against what they've got. And yes, it was able to do that. I had to do a little bit of prompting, but to be able to read this, and then go in and I said, look, I just answered a few of the questions, and it's like, yes, in section 3.22, it did not conform to the outline because the outline said this, but I asked it to give examples of why it gave the rating. And so that is really scary smart. And that's just like what's out on the shelf. What's going to happen is going to be 1,000 times more smart than that. And so when I show people just that capability, they're like, whoa. And I'm like, but that's just what we have access to today. So that puts it in perspective. So when we talk about this idea of how is this going to impact the future of work or organizations, we have to ask this question that right now I can go in and work. I work with C-level executives and typically like startups and other organizations. And I'm like, hey, let me show you as an individual how to be 30 to 40% more efficient. That's one of the things I want to do, so you can kind of see how this can impact you, how you can summarize calls after take a transcript, summarize a call, send an email, a detailed email that's personalized in 5 minutes. You can get the full, you can ask it to be a coach and help me understand, was the client upset? Was it happy? What are my top 5 ways to respond to them? Like, you're getting this kind of insight that normally takes hours of reviewing information. Now you can do this in seconds. And that's what I teach. I'm like, now imagine we add this throughout your organization. Imagine we empower your employees, your marketing, your sales, your HR to become much more powerful because they're able to take these tasks and be able to use a technology that can help them get rid of the manual tasks. They can focus on the more strategic ideas.
What do you, it's awesome. And like I told you backstage, I'm like not a technical guy at all, but I'm a huge AI fan. Right. And I think that if organizations don't jump on board, they're going to get left in the dust. Right. When you're working with the C-level of these different organizations, what are some of the pushback and objections you hear from them on adopting AI?
So on the larger organizations, and I've stayed away from the companies with 100 employees or more. And I mean, I've talked with several that have thousands of employees. And typically what their issue is, it's more of an organizational culture issue, where you have typically the InfoSec and the legal are going to push back. And it's a very uninformed pushback. And what I mean by that is, it's more out of fear, like, oh no, our data is going to be compromised. Okay, there are ways to build models. So I totally understand the privacy and security of data. You, for about $100,000, you know, it depends. There are companies out there that will do that, can do custom development. There are some out-of-the-box tools where you can have your own generative AI or AI model that stays inside the company. You can use a model that's an open source model, like from Llama 3 from Meta, where you could train it on your data and you could get similar kinds of output without actually having to go and send any data to OpenAI or Anthropic, or Google, whatever model you might use. So that's an example of there is a way to stay in compliance, privacy, and security. And it's painful. You're going to have to change a lot of your processes. But if you don't do it, by 2027, there'll be 3 kinds of companies: AI emergent, AI native, or out of business. If you don't do this, you got 2 years. And it will take about 2 years to go from an AI beginner to an AI emergent. And emergent means you basically have... You have AI policies. You've got it deployed, not just in your product. Like, a big mistake companies do is they'll say, oh, we added an API to ChatGPT for this really small part of our product. We got AI covered. Okay. It's kind of like saying, yeah, we got an internet connection. We're covered with the internet. Yeah, but you need email, social media, voice over IP. What, you know what I'm saying? That's that's, people don't look at this the right way. You need to have AI for every internal process, for your data analysis, for communication within the organization. You can use AI for all of this that will make you far more efficient. So that, and I say, look, here's the deal. And I've had this before. Like, I had a payroll company, 1,300 employees, talked to the CRO, 200 sales reps. I met with a sales rep. She explained to me exactly her process. Takes 3 hours. 3 hours to to do a research on an opportunity, you know, a call set. You got to go through it. What's the name of the company? What do they do? That's called a sales strategy doc. Then they have a call. Then she's got to put the meeting notes and summarize. And then she's got to go and do a call, a plan, etc. And I showed her that in 15 minutes, I can do the same work that she does that takes her 3 hours. Okay, so if she has two opportunities a week that are new, okay, I could save her roughly 4 to 5 hours of work. Now, I said that to the CRO, and he was like, that's great, but what would it cost for us to, you know, get licenses? And what would it take? I'm saying, yeah, you'd probably, just the licenses, if you use ChatGPT, would be $60,000 a year for your company. But even that, I'm like, but what's the time worth? You're paying these people $100,000.
That's half a job.
That's half a job. And I'm showing you how your employees can be, but we don't have any budget. Okay, we didn't budget for it this year. And I'm like, okay, so you're going to wait a whole year before you put this in the budget, which is, and again, and this is not the only one. I've had lots of companies that have said that. Oh, and then the legal people are having a problem because they think that if we, you know, because I totally understand that there should be legal, there are some areas where there should be legal concern. But this idea that somehow I'm going to write an email, and because my email sounds like somebody else's email, I'm going to get sued because of, or I put a blog out or a post, and I don't know, you know, ABC's or some company's going to sue me because I'm stealing their IP or something. No, those aren't going to be the legal issues. I think this is important is you will need to disclose for certain industries, did you write this with AI? I think that's important, that some marketing agencies that use AI need to disclose that to their clients. We will be using AI in order, and that is processing some of their data. So these are the kinds of things that are important. The other is, when we're talking about security, is this idea that you are sending your data to some place, OpenAI, or into Microsoft's cloud, or however you want to put this, Anthropic going into AWS. But technically, these companies have different protocol. So if you have the paid subscription of ChatGPT or Claude, they say they won't use it for training. It gives you a certain level of security where we won't train on the data that you send up to us. Okay. It's their promise. And not every time when the tech companies promise something, they deliver. There are enterprise versions of these large language models that also say they guarantee security. Again, when we're talking about this number one barrier, there's always a solution, but sometimes people's minds, the InfoSec and the legal minds, haven't grasped the gravity of the situation. And I have to work with the C-level to say, before I'm going to work with you, you have to work with the C-level, with these people, to get agreement. Otherwise, we're not going to go anywhere. Because the first step is to create a company policy, is to get to get what we call an AI council. You don't want your CTO running the AI council. You want that because the CTO and the tech team, they understand the data science behind AI. They don't understand what is search engine optimization or pay-per-click or how a sales team needs to optimize their processes. So you're going to want to have the tech team involved in this council, but you're going to want to have all your business units there so that you agree upon a couple of things. This is our policy. Okay. If you don't have a policy, all your employees are basically using their personal ChatGPT accounts. They're copying confidential company data. They're sticking it in their ChatGPT accounts and they're coming back. And there's more data leakage than that.
And Ben, that's what was going through my mind when you were saying this, because I've read studies that say, I think it's somewhere around 80% or 60% of employees are using AI, right? They're using their own version of ChatGPT or Claude or whatever it is. And if that's happening in your organization, that's a bigger opportunity for a data leak than what we're probably referring to here, right?
Absolutely. Well, think about the because what your tip is, some organizations will ban it off of a device. So then I have to take confidential company data, stick it into my personal phone or my personal computer to be able to break through the firewall. I am then going back and forth with transferring data, and that's a far larger security risk. So the very first thing I do, especially with the startups, is get a license. Okay, now I happen to be a big fan of Claude. That's owned by Anthropic. And as of while we're talking here, there is a huge advantage for AI, for heavy AI users, is that Claude has something called projects. A project is their version of a GPT, which is what ChatGPT has, but projects allows you to create a folder. So I can say, this is my Ben Gold AI consulting folder. But now I get a client, I create a folder for that client that I'm helping, and every conversation with that client, it helps me stay much more organized. And also, I don't have to repeat myself. It allows you to put a library of data, so that the way I use it is that if you think of the Matrix, and I was told that a lot of the younger people haven't seen the Matrix. So if you listen to this and you haven't seen the Matrix.
Or a lot of my employees haven't heard of a band called Duran Duran. So.
No. Okay. So it's like, so there's a scene in the Matrix where, you know, they're the, kind of forget the lady, the main character, where she needs to fly a helicopter, and there's this program, and he uploads the program, and she's just like, oh, okay, I got it. And that's really what AI is like. So I use the example of you're talking to a therapist. And you sit on the table and they ask the question, what's wrong? And you say, I'm not happy. Okay. Well, you're giving, that's a prompt. You know, you're saying, I'm not happy, but you're not giving the AI something. They're going to give you these very generic responses. So imagine you have an 8-hour conversation with that therapist. Now the advice you're going to get is much better than the first, you know, 5 or 10 minutes. When you take transcripts, and that's what I do, is I'll take transcripts, upload 8 hours of transcripts as the project knowledge. Now I'm asking the question, help me design this website. Okay, help me design the website, not a generic website, but one that's designed based on these 8 hours of conversation, and walk me through what the homepage is going to be, page 2, page 3, to be a compelling argument for why we're different in the marketplace. Now you get a different kind of answer than these generic ones.
So Ben, let's take out for a second, you know, the organizations, especially the larger organizations who are concerned about security. But there's so many different directions to go, right? You know, I mean, there's, because I would think that, well, because I know I experienced this myself, is that there's so many exciting things that you can do. And sometimes you don't even know where to start, like, or in what department to start. So I know we talked about you got to start at the C-level and you got to have policies, okay? But what if you want to just roll up your sleeves as an organization? Would you recommend starting with the sales team, with the customer service? Because just like any change management, and I'm speaking to the choir here, you want to get a couple of small wins in, right? So if you were working with a 500-person company and you're meeting with the CEO, and the CEO is like, I love this. I want to do all of these things. And then but he's like, I'm afraid that, you know, there's too much going on and there's too many tools out there. How do I figure out where I'm going to go? What would you recommend as an area for where they should start?
That's a great question. And the first thing is to get buy-in that you have access to an AI tool. Okay, so you got to at least, at a minimum, get buy-in from your IT and legal that we're going to use. We could start with an off-the-shelf, ChatGPT or Claude. Or there are other tools that, let's say, allow you to put a large amount of data and then they communicate with ChatGPT or Claude. So you have to get some sort of buy-in, number one, that I'm allowed to use generative AI, that we can put in. There are some safeguards you can do. One way to stop that is to say, we're going to talk marketing. Marketing is not using confidential data. We're not using the phone numbers or PII that might be held in here. So that would be the two things. Is I would start with something that's a low risk project, and that's part of what I teach, or the way I work with organizations, is identify use cases. So let's walk through your process, and that's the first thing. Like, what are you spending your time on? Are you spending time on responding to emails? Are you spending time on creating content or putting search engine optimization strategies, pay-per-click strategies? Every single one of these things, there are, you can use the large language models to help you, and then there's specialized tools that are designed. And so as we look at each of these use cases, we say, okay, so you need to train the employees to understand the concept of prompting and how to put in contextual data. Test out how would just a large language model work, and how, unless here are the top two or three other companies that do this. If you do that, then you can say, well, gosh, this is helping us to knock, 60% of the time or 70% of the time we spend on this task. I'm really practical task by task of identifying what am I spending my time on. So another example is I have a startup founder. We created an investor folder or an investor project inside of Claude. We set up a scorecard. These are the kinds of investors we're looking for. So that now when you meet with an investor, you can just put the transcript here. Now you get a readout and an analysis of how that call went and help you to define, is this, do you want to go further or not?
It's incredible, if you think about it. Are you recommending to people that they should hire like a AI expert and having somebody on staff that kind of heads up the AI council, or do you think that it should just be carried out through your organization? And because I ask that because you need somebody to cheerlead the initiative, right?
There is, and that's a great question. Like, I have a friend of mine who is really, we graduated we studied together in Italy many years ago, and he's got this really nice consulting business, a very successful one. And I spoke with him and I was like, I'm happy to help you with any AI questions. And he goes, we've got this guy, this kid that's like an AI whiz, and he's doing all the stuff for us. And I'm like, you know what? You're covered. I don't think, he's 20 employees. It looks like he's adopting AI in many different ways. So in that case, I'm like, you're good. But if your organization, so first of all, I'd say if there's 100 or more employees, and I can be a bit more specific, 100 or more knowledge workers. So if you've got a manufacturing plant where you've got, 50 people that are in a warehouse, 30 employees, you might not need this, but let's say 100 knowledge workers, you should have a full-time AI expert that looks at everything. Now, you could also, if you don't want to hire somebody, you hire someone like me or an AI consultant. It's an emerging field. There's not a lot of people, but I see on LinkedIn, there's a number of people that do strategy consulting, it is good to get somebody that you can bounce ideas off of that can look at your organization and see things that you don't see. And that's where the outside consulting firms, now for the Fortune 100 and 500, they're paying billions of dollars to Price, PwC, McKinsey to go in and be able to consult for them. The mid-sized companies are the ones that I think are getting left behind, the 100 to 500 employee companies that they don't have the budget for a PwC. They don't know where to start. And that's where I think that you either hire somebody to be full-time or you get a consulting firm to walk you through this process.
It's interesting, and I heard you talk about this when I was researching you, is that when it comes to AI, you're talking about these enterprise-level companies who spend billions of dollars, but generative AI and AGI or whatever is coming up, it's going to democratize everything, right? So smaller organizations who maybe don't have those billion-dollar budgets, they can now compete with the larger firms because of what AI allows them to do.
That is the irony in the whole thing. So I'm working with a couple of startups, two of them, and I'm negotiating with a third, and all three of them are upending their industry. They're taking on established, one of them is creating a new space, but the other two want to take on an established space. And I said, well, why don't we reimagine what this space would look like? So for example, the concept of filling out a form. Nobody should ever fill out a form. You should be able to speak into your phone. So for example, if I'm doing an inspection, you speak into your phone, you interview somebody, you ask questions, you do whatever you need, you take pictures, and the AI should be able to understand based on geospatial information, based on the database, oh, this picture is from this location, which is associated with this project. Oh, I noticed a safety violation because the ladder is whatever. So the AI should be able to do that. When I speak into the phone, the transcript should not only be transcribed, but parsed out. Okay, parsed out to answer the question. So imagine changing the way things are done. And this isn't any industry, but by thinking along those lines, like I had this conversation. I was supposed to go to a university. A gentleman said wanted me to hop on a plane and go to the Midwest, go do a 3-hour plane. He said, I want you to come with me. We're going to go into this university and we're going to talk to their medical school it was like a university hospital. So, and they're using pencil and piece of paper. And I'm like, okay. And of course, he goes, but I need to get confirmation. And sure enough, when he confirmed with them, their argument was, no, we don't need AI because we have the best AI data scientists at our university. And he goes, yeah, but you're using pencil and piece of paper at your medical center. And I'm like, yeah, for example, imagine the patient experience when you walk in and someone says, what's wrong? And you say all the different things. And instead of the nurse having to write it down, it gets transcribed and it fills out the form. So the doctor, doesn't have to ask questions. But the idea is that if you record all this conversation, you say, look, we're recording this. And now you've got the patient record. Now, whenever they come back, the AI already knows who they are, what they've been through. And we give, I said, that's just an example of better experience, but also you could talk about better outcomes. This would transform the entire medical scene. And yes, some doctors are afraid that it would replace them. People still want to talk to a human, but having an AI say, you know what, here are the top three things that probably are wrong, but here are three things you probably didn't consider. And if this is a rare disease, consider this as being number 4, 5, and 6. And the AI would be able to crunch that.
And also what I'm hearing you say too is the transfer from the pen and paper, pencil and paper into a computer or whatever, or just writing it down incorrectly, you're reducing or eliminating those errors as well, which is going to lead to a better outcome.
And people might say, what, today the AI might not be able to transcribe as well, the I forget, oxy, blah, blah, blah. I can't pronounce these pharmaceutical things. And maybe there is an issue, but I'll tell you this, whatever we have today is going to be 100 times to 1,000 times more intelligent. Those mistakes won't be made in a year or 2 years from now. So you have to base your AI strategy on the way AI will be, not on the way it was. And to factor in a geometric progression of intelligence. And that's something that people just do not understand. I could show you some things. I know we're just talking, but I show certain things that blow people's minds of tools that can do a disk analysis in 10 seconds, okay, which normally takes hours. Or you go through this whole thing, it looks at your LinkedIn profile, and it will give you a full analysis of your personality, 10 seconds. DALL-E 3 and Midjourney can do some amazing photorealistic images. And even, OpenAI is probably going to have an upgraded version of DALL-E 3 that probably will blow away Midjourney, which is hard to imagine. But these are the kinds of things that are coming down the road.
Yeah, it's amazing. I live out here in San Francisco, and I went to lunch with a friend who's pretty big thought leader in the AI space. And one of the things that he recommended to me was don't spend a lot of money building GPTs or agents or anything right now, because in a year from now, that's all going to be done, right? It's all going to, like you say, it's going to be 500,000 times better. So, watch your investment on that piece.
I would say that let me temper that. There's some agents that you could build that today can give you value. What I would say is that I would absolutely experiment with agents. The two things that
can you explain, Ben? Can you explain the difference? What an agent, what a GPT is, and an agent?
Sure. So GPT for me is actually, I'm not a big fan of GPTs. Okay. So GPT is an app on the ChatGPT store, so I can come in. So one of the things that I'm really not a big fan of with the GPTs is anybody can create one. Okay, so I can, so for example, I put together six career GPTs because I said that, you know, I spent a lot of time with the job seeker perspective, and GPTs work when you have a very narrow scope. So I said, here's one about how to determine career goals. Here's a GPT on how to write a resume. Here's a GPT on how to network on LinkedIn. And I explained my methodology so you can upload documents. So it's like you go in it and you can type something and a GPT will give you an answer where somebody else has already put in a lot of the context and the data and the methodology. The problem is I don't use them very much because some of them are just crap. Some of them, I can create a GPT that has no data, no methodology, but has a great title, you know, PowerPoint maker. Okay. I can call it anything. I can say business plan maker, and I could put in, you know, a 3-page document and so there's really no quality control. There's no way. So, but the other problem with the GPT is since you don't know what the prompt is in the back end, it's really hard to work with it. Now, I have created in the past GPTs for me personally to make my life simpler. So this is my LinkedIn GPT for writing posts. However,
send me that, please.
But the Claude version or Anthropic. So for the people to know, ChatGPT and Claude.ai, Claude has an idea of projects. Projects to me is much better than GPTs because I can upload a whole bunch of documents. I can tell it exactly what I want it to do, how to act, and then I can create separate chats. So I have one, and that's really a big deal because like I will, let's say, have maybe 2 or 3 prospect discussions every day. And I want to be able to set a separate chat per prospect. But I wanted to understand what I'm going against. You know, what is my consulting services? How do I work? And that allows me to stay very organized, and ChatGPT doesn't. Now, your second part, agent. Agents, so this is kind of scary. Okay, so but I want people to understand this. This does freak some people out when I go through what an agent is. Think of writing a cover letter, writing an email, summarizing a discussion is a task. An agent is a program that puts tasks in a logical order together. So a customer success agent is one that would say, oh, hey, and I have a friend who actually creates these agents for companies, which says, this is a customer success agent. It can be assigned a segment of the company. You could have 100 different AI agents inside of your company. So I am the agent that handles companies that are in the financial space between 0 and 100 employees. And so when they sign up and we know what their product they're buying and what they're using, this agent would proactively say, hi, I see you bought our product. Okay, would you like to get a demo? Or, you know, so something that is able to interact instantly, but be like a human and be able to answer like a human. Okay, so that, I noticed that you haven't been using our product or you haven't done this. Would you like to understand this? And so most companies, they have time for their top 10% of clients. They get the white glove service, and then they outsource to the Philippines or India some call center for the other 90%. AI agents can service those 90% in a very personalized way.
For perspective, how much, for what you're just talking about, a customer service agent, how much would something like that, you know, how much would you have to invest to build something like that? Is it hundreds of thousands of dollars, or is it something that could get done for like 10 grand?
I'm going to say that I know a company that charges 10 grand to build it, and then roughly, you know, a monthly fee to maintain it. So you're talking 4 to 5 figures to build. Now, granted, if you're Microsoft or something really complicated, I'm talking the company with 500 employees.
That's
could,
what I mean,
could
yeah.
get it built. Could get it built for in the 4 to 5 or low 5 figures. Okay, could have something like that built.
That's amazing.
Now you also have a sales, like if you're talking to a sales agent, there are tools out there, like one is called clay.com, where you can, you know, a lot of companies, what they'll do is you've got, so a big thing I teach is like with the sales, with these startups, is I'm like, do not create a standard sales team. Step one is let's get the best tools out there that will help you scrape the data. So get, you know, first of all, you got a database of who your clients are. A lot of companies have a list. Like one of the clients, one of my companies is in the restaurant space. So they have a list of a database of all 700,000 restaurants that exist. Okay, that's not that difficult to get. What Clay does, and that's just one tool, can help you. It goes through and it's like a, it will help you to go through all these other data sources to add on top of that. Ownership. If, you know, restaurants not really, you know, we're not talking about Series A or Series B, but it goes through all these other sources and can at scale enrich. So you can begin to understand who are the employees that work at these at there, what are their roles? And it basically is able to help in seconds to get email addresses, phone numbers, then you can at scale personalize. And so the idea is that when you hire your sales rep, that rep should just be taking appointments and meeting with people. They shouldn't be spending their time trying to go through data and figuring stuff out. It should just be, hey, these AI agents have already sent out the emails. They've already gone through the day's events. They've determined what's happening in the world, what's happening in these companies. And oh, because this person's the marketing executive and their company just had this new acquisition, let's send an email about the acquisition and saying, this is how our service will help you.
So is clay.com, C-L-A-Y.com?
Clay.com is one that is one of the tools that is typically used. It's a good one to start with. It's not going to do every single thing, but what I'm saying is it depends on your business and what you're looking to accomplish. But that's the level of automation that's going to exist. When we're talking about the improvement of AI, it's going to become more aware. It's going to become more smart. It's going to understand how if it's raining in Chicago, how this might impact your business, like if you're a delivery company and help you, like that's like even like FedEx, I saw they had that's something they use, that it's raining in Chicago, therefore we're going to reroute our package delivery. Okay, being able to understand stuff like how these other events that seem to be unrelated, but you layer them on and the AI can absorb it and help you make better decisions.
No, I mean, that's phenomenal. I want to take it down a level to the individual. I know you spend a lot of time with, you know, career changers and everything like that. What piece of advice would you give to somebody? I had a buddy, for example, who's got a brother who lives, I think, in Missouri, and he kind of bounces around. He's like, you know, he cuts hair, he does odd jobs. And my friend told him, hey, man, you can set yourself apart by going out and really learning AI and getting yourself back into the market, you know, and do that now before everybody catches up. What advice do you have for individuals like that?
This is when it's not a cookie cutter advice. Generally, what I say to every job seeker is learn AI to get your next job. And there's a whole bunch of tools that can help you with that, with interview prep and resume analysis, et cetera. But use AI to keep your next job. Okay, because companies that are, there's going to be certain people are going to lose their job, and the first people that will be cut from organizations are the ones that are not understanding how to adopt AI tools. So if your organization has an AI council or they're forming one, volunteer. Be the guy of your department that's researching AI tools. Be the one who is curious. Be the one to show your management that, yeah, I understand the efficiency gains and I want to help you to make this work within the organization. Now, for your friend, I do have some people that, like, if you're like, okay, like the first thing I would say to that person is, if you're kind of bouncing around, use AI to figure out what your career direction is, because an AI expert, and I put that in big quotation marks, the question of what does make someone an AI expert, it's very subjective. Okay, I can declare myself an expert.
But your LinkedIn profile.
Yeah, I say it. Yeah, I mean, I have to say that, because if I don't, then you know, it is who I am. But I would say to that person, number one, go into Claude, go into ChatGPT and tell everything about yourself, what you do, what you want, who you are. Upload your resume, upload a book you wrote, upload anything you've written and say, give me 5 suggestions for my career. So that's the first thing is, what could I do? Okay. The second thing then is if you see something interesting, dig deep. oh, you want me to be a ballerina, an underwater watch winder, whatever it is. Well, tell me what it takes to become an underwater watch winder. How many, what education do I need? What do I need to do? You can use AI to be your coach to figure out what you want to do. Because that's really important, is that just knowing how ChatGPT works is not enough. You do need to have some industry knowledge. You need to be able to show people use cases. You need to be able to go in and say, I'm going to show you how I can use AI to do something, to make something better, faster, more quality.
No, I love it. And one of the things you said at the beginning of that, which I think is so true, is a lot of times at Learn It, we teach a class called Manage Up, and it's typically for high performing individuals who want to get promoted. And we typically say, hey, look, you got to start that process 6 to 8 months early, and be visible to your leaders. And what I hear you saying is a great way to do that is if you see that your organization, you're working someplace, and you see that your organization is forming an AI council or they're doing AI projects, that you should jump in and offer your assistance. Like, hey, let me be involved. You know, I mean, regardless of what, like, if you're an accounts receivable person, right, or if you're a customer service or somebody in marketing, you try to get to the front and be involved there so you can kind of lead the way, at least for your group. Because when, as things evolve and they're looking, you know, maybe some positions will get cut, the people who are AI forward are going to be the ones who are going to keep those jobs and evolve.
Well said. Very well said. I'll add something to that. So I was helping. So I do have some people that reach out to me that have lost their job, they're in between. And I had this conversation this week with a CIO and a chief information officer that got let go. His company basically was struggling. And I told him, I said, so do you want to get the, I said, I'm going to show you how you're going to get your next job. I said, you're going to ask the company, what is their, do they have an AI policy? Do you have an AI council that's been formed? Because a chief information officer is someone that can be a part of that. And if you, in your interview, you explain, yeah, well, I can help you with that. And I told him, I said, so he's like, how can I repay you for the, because I gave him a lot of different help on how to interview, how to profile companies, how to do research quickly with AI. And I told him, this is what you do. Go get hired. Okay. And if, especially if the company needs to create this, and give me an opportunity to work with that organization to help them create their council, their policies, their AI adoption. So, you know, that was a, it was an interesting thing, because exactly as a, even as a job seeker, if you lead with that, that then if today you don't even have a ChatGPT account, but you took 30 days and you took 2 hours a day to what, to listen to podcasts, to research, to get these tools. Yeah, spend $20 on ChatGPT and spend $20 on Claude. But I don't have that money. And I'm like, okay, so you spend it on Netflix and Amazon Prime and that latte that you have.
And beers at the local bar.
But you have something that $20 a month, and there is a difference between the free and the paid versions of both of these that's going to give you an 80% lift in your productivity, and you don't have time to learn it because you're spending all this time trying to review information and read emails and stuff, and you have the money. I said that doesn't make sense to me. So that is a big part here is even if you have zero knowledge, in 30 days you could be enough of an AI, I'm not going to say thought leader, but you could be a knowledgeable about AI to go into a job interview and say, you know what, I was researching the top three tools in marketing, you know, for example, or looking at, for example, Midjourney. Get an account, you know, image generation, video creation, for social media, etc. Like, I've been researching all these tools, and I think that if you, does your organization, what tools do you have? What tools does, you know, as your for future employer, what AI tools are you using to optimize the marketing division? That would pique the ears of a marketing manager. Oh, we don't have any tools. We're thinking about it. Good. Well, you know what? I've been reading about this tool, and I think we could do an A/B test, and I could show you, we could try that together. These are things that you, as a job seeker that has no idea, no background, could learn and be able to talk about in 30 days.
That is so important too, because it's not easy to get jobs right now. There's a lot of competition. So you have to find a way to set yourself apart. And coming in with a different perspective and asking questions like that is one way to do it. Another way to do it is you know, through your personal brand. And if you spend 30 days or 15 days, or it doesn't even matter, get in and start, I believe, especially in B2B, start posting on LinkedIn. Take a class on AI, you know, just a free class on YouTube or whatever it is, and just start sharing information, right? Start sharing information. Because, Ben, we all know that employers are going to maybe do a little research on you. And if they see you in there posting a couple times a week, and not just about AI, maybe it's about sales or whatever it is, but you start doing that, that I think that's also another way that's going to help, you know, put you in front.
I agree. I would even go a step further that 2 years ago, to do a LinkedIn post took, you know, 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours for the average person who's not a LinkedIn poster or not a thought leader. Now, with some tools, if you train the AI correctly, I can do a post in 5 minutes. Okay. And I'll, for example, I have an AI for inside of Claude. There are other apps that are standalone that do this, but let's say I do a video short with you and I go into Descript. I will cut it into 90 seconds, take the transcript, throw it into Claude and say, now write a LinkedIn post. And I've already told it, I want a hook at the top. I want you to have a main idea. I want you to have 5 bullet points and then a call to action. That's my general thing. And it'll spit it out. And the thing is, you do it right, it doesn't have, and I have in my instruction, do not use the word delve, do not use the word revolutionize, do not use, you know, so I have these words, the tapestry of society, keep this BS out and be in my voice. And therefore I can post like that. Now, for somebody who, and what I would, I, the only thing I would say is that it, let's say you're not really into AI, just use AI to generate content about whatever you're passionate about. Okay. If you are a passionate about art or passionate about leadership, about coaching, you can use AI. You don't have to talk about it. You don't have to disclose, you don't have to make that an issue, but understand the tools that are out there to make you a better coach, to make you able to express yourself.
I actually think that there's, I love that you said that, Delph. I think that there's a new, I don't know if it's a GPT. I follow Allie K. Miller.
Yeah.
She's one of my favorite thought leaders.
Oh yeah, I love her.
Yeah, and Ethan Mollick are the two that I kind of follow a lot because they do it from a very business practical way, you know, and they don't just post like, here's 72 ChatGPT prompts. But I think that there is a no more Delph prompt now that you can use to stream, you know, get rid of all those ChatGPT or, you know, AI first words, not AI first words, but you know what I mean?
So it's funny you mentioned that. So I did read, by the way, Ethan Mollick wrote a book that I think everybody should read. It's a really good one. And I forget the name of it. I got the
Co-intelligence.
Co-intelligence, yes. And I got the ebook, listened to it in my car. It's, I think, 6.5 hours of listening. Really, really worth it. He's a little bit bullish on it, on AI, and understood some of the risks, you know, that are there. But I think it's a brilliant work. So I love Ethan. I love Ali. The other thing that I would highly recommend for business leaders, there is, I don't know if you've heard of Paul Raitzer. He is with the Marketing AI Institute. He has a weekly podcast called The Artificial Intelligence Show. And it is basically, that's the person who is able to take the week's events. You know, there's a $1 billion investment somewhere in Hong Kong, and he'll be able to connect the dots and say, that's because the Chinese are doing this, this, and this, and they're investing over here because they want the chips so that they, you know, he's able to take and basically understand, like, what is this going to mean for, you know, as a country? What does this mean for somebody who's a marketer, somebody who's a sales rep? Like, is this, how is AI going to impact your career, your job, or just society in general? And really insightful, because I don't have time to listen to every single news article. There's no way to keep up with all the news. There's no way to keep up with the apps.
With all the tools.
With all the tools.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, you know, one position, I know we got to wrap up here, but one of the things that a buddy of mine joked about is just be somebody who goes out and spends a ton of time researching all the apps and tools and everything, and just kind of cuts through all the noise on that. And, you know, just, but just to help recommend different tools, because it's impossible to keep up with all of them they have.
And that's part of my job. You know, I will sit down with these companies and I'm like, okay, what is your next step? What do we want to accomplish? Like right now, I have two of my clients that are interested in sales. And so I've actually gone to some of these. So like I can't do everything. So I've gone to some of these agencies that specialize in setting up AI chatbots or AI bots for selling. And I'm like, I need you to bid it out. I want to see how fast can you put in an AI automated sales process, which they can do in weeks. And so I've learned that these are things I'm a good, let's say, a coach or a organizer per se, but I can't do all this. I don't have time to know the latest sales tools, the latest marketing tools, latest HR tools. It's mind boggling. But I know how to process and to evaluate and say, this is the most priority use cases. Now let's look at what's out there today, because tomorrow it might be completely different.
Completely different. Well, Ben, I mean, we've been at it for 50 minutes. This has been awesome, man. You know, we talked about everything from how AI can, you know, transform the business world, some of the tools out there that individuals need or should use, how to get ahead in your organization, where to start with this leadership and build an AI policy. Do you have one more tip before we wrap up?
My tip would be curious. Just be curious, because I find a lot of people are very negative on AI and the AI and they don't know it. And what I would say is just understand that that when you interact with AI, treat it like a coach. You got bad output. Hey, redo this. Make it more formal. Make it more detailed. Summarize better. Talk about this. And if you begin to understand how you can interact with the AI, you'll suddenly go, wow, okay, the output is going to get a lot better. So that would be it, is be curious, stay informed, try tools, learn the base models, learn the frontier models that are out there. One final thing I will say is I have a high school that I counsel with, and I don't really try to do the educational sector because I think it's more of a scary thing for me. So I have one high school that's private that my daughter goes to, and the owner there wants to incorporate AI in their curricula. So I just spent 2 weeks, 35 one-on-one meetings, 30 minutes each with every single teacher. Okay. And I said, they're concerned that AI, you know, the concern that I hear about so many people that are, and I feel very lazy about this topic, say, we're going to take away the ability for our young people to think. And I said, nope, that's not the problem. The problem is you need to redo your curricula. So for example, I'll give you two or three examples and we can wrap it up, is if I'm a math teacher, have your students take their phone, take a picture of the math assignment, run it through ChatGPT, get the answers, now have the students grade the ChatGPT because it will get two or three wrong. Okay? So now you're incorporating the AI capabilities and you're incorporating critical thinking. As a chemistry teacher, go into your cabinet with all of your chemicals, take a picture and ask it, can you give me five experiments that I can do with what is here? Okay, it can read the picture, it understands what the ingredients are, it'll give you five experiments for my seventh grade chemistry class to understand that level. So as a language teacher, you know, the free version of ChatGPT can speak any language. So assign your students to talk to ChatGPT about, or you know, being in a restaurant and talk about food for 5 or 10 minutes in Spanish or French or German. So you can take these tools that on one hand, if all you're assigning them to do is to write a paper, then yeah, they can be brain dead and copy and paste stuff, but give them assignments where they actively participate and they send you the output. And then you now have a way to help critically assess the output, and you're teaching your students the tools that they need to survive. Because I tell the professors at universities, go ahead and ban ChatGPT, but when all of your students are unemployed after graduation, you might reconsider this.
I hear what you're saying. I mean, essentially what you're saying, Ben, is that the education system, they need to rethink how they do things, right? Because generative AI and everything else, it's here to stay. And it's going to disrupt not only the education system, but the business world and jobs and everything. And so we need to adapt with it, right? And part of that is, like you said, get curious and leverage it for the powerful benefits that are available for everybody. Ben, where can our audience connect with you at?
So there's two places. The first one is bengoldai.com. That's my website, which has both my keynote speaking and my consulting services. And then I'm also on LinkedIn and very active in terms of posting about AI.
Well, it's great. I mean, you offered so much value to our customers today and our listeners. So thank you. So everybody, that's it for today. And if you enjoyed our episode with Ben, I know I did, please rate and review, tell a friend. And until next time, stay curious and keep learning. Have a great day, everybody.